This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. Today on the show, we are going to be talking about the secrets to bedroom bliss. We're talking with a friend of mine, Dr. Una Mourier. Una is a sexologist in private practice in Sebastopol, California. She's the co-author of a great book called Nine Secrets to Bedroom Bliss. And some have called it the most unusual sex manual of this time. I think that was actually a quote from the New York Post. Una is an explorer of many faces of the self. She's a shaman, a wise woman, a visionary, a trickster, and an entrepreneur. She's devoted her life to the exploration of the mystery. Her innovative mind has led her to create some new paradigms in sexuality as well as in relationships and business. And Una's career reflects her creative spirit, and she kind of splits her work between sexology, being a teacher. She's also a currency trader, a business owner, and a mother. Una's been lecturing nationally and teaching workshops on sexual archetypes since 1990.
A traditional case in private practice are people that come and tell you, we used to have this really juicy relationship, we used to have sex all the time, and it's not there anymore. And basically, you know, people think there is something wrong there. When you look at the archetype, usually what you see, for example, one of the scenarios is that after the juice, people are starting to encounter conflict in their own sexuality. Think about Earth as being the relationship with the body. So in terms of sexuality, is to descend in the body. And then there is the task of opening the heart, which is the water and the emotion. And the spirit is about, you know, going to heaven. And so all those pieces need to be integrated in order to be at the center, which is we call the center of the artist, which is the art of going anywhere. We all have a sense of an identity that is deeply tied up to who we are as a sexual human being. And then, you know, you get older and that is not reliable anymore. And so what really is required, can you have the courage to be in the presence of the person you love and, you know, the juice are not going? And then what do you do there? You really have, can you surrender to that moment to really see what could be there?
Welcome to the show, Una Mourier.
Hi, Chip.
Hi, Una. It's been a long time since we've talked. It's nice to talk to you again.
I know. It's lovely to be on the show with you.
I'd love to talk to you about currency trading, but the name of the show is Sex, Love, and Intimacy, so let's talk about that, okay? let's start simple here. What is it that makes you a sexologist? What do you do? What is your private practice? What do you do?
Well, I work with people in private practice who want to do some work around sexuality and gender. And basically, the way that I work with people is, I think sexuality is like dancing with a mystery. And part of exploring that journey is what I love to do with people.
The mystery of life, the mystery of the cosmos, which mystery?
The mystery of our relationship with the creative force.
Mm.
And so it's a dance with the creative force, and I think that the more you know yourself, the more you know the other, the less distance there is, the more you touch the divine.
Mm. And I noticed in your biography, you talk a little bit about creating new paradigms in sexuality. Can mm-hmm. there be new paradigms in sexuality? I mean, human beings have been around a long time. What could be new?
Well, one of the things for me when I was, you know, looking at sexuality a long time ago, there was something in the way that we look at sexuality that just didn't work for me. And the traditional model is that, you know, you start being sexual, you have a peak at, you know, depending if you're a man or a woman, at 30, 40s, and then it goes down from there. And somewhere that just never worked for me. And I was aware that the kind of experience that I was having in sexuality had no place to go. So with Jim Herriot, who is the co-author of the book, we started looking at sexuality according to the medicine wheel, to a kind of a mandala model. And what's really great about the mandala model is that every place in the circles has relationships. And so, you know, I could think of sexuality according to a kind of a spiral where we get, you know, more and more deeply connected with ourselves, with the other, with the divine. And it was an endless model. There is not that peak and then boom, it goes down. So that's a little bit, you know, what we brought to sexuality is that kind of a way to look at it. So what it means is, you know, there is a place to integrate the heart, there is a place to integrate the body, there is a place to integrate the mind, and there is a place to integrate the spirit. And you can dance in those, you know, different, from these different places.
And your image of the mandala is something about the connection of all these different places kind of flowing through you all at the same time?
Both. They can flow through you all at the same time, or you can visit kind of a different places. So, for example, if you think about the medicine wheel, you know, people talk about the earth, the water, the fire, and the air. You can think about earth as being the relationship with the body. So, in terms of sexuality, you know, there is a part of the task of sexuality is to descend in the body. And then there is the task of opening the heart, which is the water and the emotion. And then understanding who you are and claiming who you are on your sexuality is part of the mind. And the spirit is about, you know, going to heaven. And so all those pieces need to be integrated in order to be at the center, which is we call the center of the artist, which is the art of going anywhere. And so if you think about each position on the medicine wheel, there is eight positions. Those are eight different faces of the lover.
Eight different faces of the lover. Okay. So do you have like names for these faces? Are they archetypical? Are there like...
Yeah, they are archetypes.
Yeah.
And there is 8 plus 1, so there is 9 of them. So the first one is the innocent, what we call the innocent, which is this ability to just open the heart and enjoy what is. And the innocent, as an archetype around sexuality, doesn't hold a lot of fire. It's more about connection, about bonding, about creating safety. And then there is another one called the explorer, for example. And the explorer is the one that goes into the places that are a little bit more shadowy around sexuality, where you kind of meet yourself in the the places that people hide and all of that, and coming to terms with those conflicts that are inherent in sexuality. Then there is a sensualist, which descend in the body. And so the sensualist is how many orgasms you have, how hard you are. And then there is a revealer, which is about really knowing yourself around sexuality. And then there is a more tantric kind of a character, with about, you know, the purpose of the sexual interaction is really to meet God. And then there is the nurturer, which is about the long-term relationship, being home, you know, having the fire, the comfort, the pajamas. So they all have a kind of a different energy around sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So the fun of it is to get to know all of them. And then at the center is the artist, which is like a, you know, like playing a Stradivarius around sexuality. And it's, you know, the artistry of it. You can be at any places and be present, you know, with any kind of energy, whether you have a passionate, you know, moment or whether you, you know, you have this really tender, sweet moment.
And I'm assuming that all these archetypes kind of lead us to the premise of bedroom bliss. And I want to talk to you more about that in a moment, but we want to take a break first and give a chance to support our sponsors and let our sponsors support us. As we go to break, listeners, I just want to remind you that there are all kinds of offers available to you on my episode page. So if you go to personallifemedia.com, that's all one word, personallifemedia.com. allonword.com, and look for the episode pages for Sex, Love, and Intimacy. You're going to see that you can get a free book from Audible. You can save 20% on ice.com jewelry, and I think there's even an offer from the people who make the Tantra chair. So please go to personallifemedia.com and check out the links on my episode pages. I want to remind you that usually my promo code is LOVE, L-O-V-E, although sometimes it's also FREE, F-R-E-E, so you might want to try either of those promo codes and see if you can't get yourself a really good deal. We'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. I'm talking to Dr. Una Mourier. We've been talking about sexual archetypes. Una Mourier is the author or the co-author of a book called Nine Secrets to Bedroom Bliss. And as we went to break, you were talking about kind of the nine archetypes. Do these lead directly into these nine secrets to bedroom bliss?
Yes, I think they all have a piece that needs to be integrated in, you know, to get to the place where sexuality become like an art form.
Mm-hmm.
And an art form is really about meeting spirit, you know, having the having that place where you're so present that that it becomes a timeless moment.
Okay, so this, I'm sorry, I tend to be a meat and potatoes kind of person, and I'm sometimes practical to a fault. This all sounds kind of hard. It kind of sounds like hard work. Is it?
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think it's really about being with what is and enjoying what is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example.
Oh, please.
A traditional, you know, case in private practice are people that come and they tell you, we used to have this really juicy relationship. We used to have sex all the time, and it's not there anymore. And basically, you know, people think that there is something wrong there. And so when you look from the archetypal point of view, you know, they met in the sensualist where sex was hot and steamy and juicy, and suddenly something else is occurring. And when you look at the archetype, usually what you see, for example, one of the scenarios is that after the juice, people are starting to encounter conflict in their own sexuality, or, you know, the stuff from childhood that show up, or those kind of things. And usually what happens, they are in a place that could be the innocent, which is really about snuggling and cuddling, and what really is happening in that, you know, from that place is that you create the safety of the container for the next level. And so what it looks like is kind of a being present with whatever is in sexuality, but having a frame of understanding about what is the task that is, you know, happening at that moment in the sexual relationship. So, you know, in that case, it's creating safety. You know, juice is fantastic, is interesting, but it doesn't last, and it needs also to be grounded.
So there's something here about letting go of your expectations about how you think the sexuality is supposed to be and tuning more into what's really happening for you?
It's more than tuning. I think it's a deeply engaging with what's happening to you. It's really, you know, having this kind of a fascination of being seen in places that are different, that are, you know, that we don't know yet with another human being.
And so so here I am. I've been married for, I don't know, 20 years, and sexuality has definitely changed in ways that I don't think are as good as it used to be. I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm.
How do I even begin to look for this? What do I do?
One of the things would be to really look at what's present.
So that would mean talking to my partner about the feelings that are coming up for me in my dissatisfaction.
Uh-huh.
That's what okay.
What's underneath that? And what is if you really follow that thread and inquires, you know, what is there for you?
Mm-hmm. But I find that for most of us, you know, what's underneath that? Well, I've been having sex with the same woman for 20 years. I'm bored. Like, what's underneath that? That's it. I'm bored, you know?
Uh-huh. And what underneath the boredom?
So you have an assumption that no matter what I think is going on the surface, there is something going on underneath.
Well, you know, I think it's the same thing as a relationship with your own self, is that there is always another layer to discover.
Uh-huh.
And you know, boredom is a form of protection in some ways.
Okay. So what I think I'm hearing you say is that one of the things that needs to change is that we really need to be willing to dig deeper into what our actual experience is and be open to the possibility that what's obvious on the surface may have deeper and deeper causes than we've been looking at.
Right. I think that really the task is to crack yourself, you know, your own self with another human being to a deeper, you know, level. And I think that in some ways, you know, and that's part of the innocent, you know, what we call the innocent in the archetype, which is about opening the heart, is as we get older, I think that arousal, for example, and this next phase beyond boredom really has to do how deeply can you crack yourself? Can you show your vulnerability, like to those really places where you're so naked?
This reminds me a lot of Tantra, you know, which is Tantra really, one piece of Tantra certainly is about the sort of giving up the illusion of security so that one can dive to, you know, deeper realms of the soul, you know?
And also, you know, I think that there is, like, for example, something that is really, that can be delicious or terribly terrible for a couple is this moment where you're in bed and you want to make love, but you don't feel aroused.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so when you get there, then, you know, can you really stay with that and really dance with that and see what you want, you know? And you might end up kissing for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And having some of the most profound connection, even though, you know, it's not your genitals that are running the show.
So I hear in this also that one of the secrets to bedroom bliss is broadening your definition of sexuality so that you can begin to see that sexuality doesn't just live in your genitals and doesn't just live in lubrication or erection.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as we get older, we do need to do that.
Right.
I don't think we have any other really door to sexuality, but really to that, you know, that delicious inquiry on, you know, where is the place where I'm still holding something and how can I, you know, crack myself and another level deeper with someone I love? How can I connect to, you know, the source of love and what's in the way?
And in your book, is this sort of a guidebook on how to do that?
Yeah, well, in the book we explore those nine archetypes, and each one of them has a different task. So, for example, you know, some of the developmental pieces of that, you know, in order to kind of integrate different pieces of sexuality, one of them is you need to descend in the body. And some people, you know, don't know how to be in their body and at the same time being related to another human being. There is that kind of a split that happens in having your attention both in within yourself and connected to the other. So, for example, one of the exercises in the sensualist, which is about like really descending in this kind of a animalistic, you know, desire and let yourself really feel that, there is exercise where you close your eyes and, you know, you're being touched or whatever, and you really deepen those pleasure connection between your brain and your body until you really let yourself being turned on and aroused and pleasured, whatever pleasure looks like. But I think that for all of us, we have a place where we stop pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And so having, you know, those kind of exercises, really this inquiry around, you know, how much can I really open myself to pleasure, whatever it feels like, and really kind of deepen that. And then there is other exercise about, you know, looking at all the thing in sexuality that where you go, oh, no, I won't never do that. And what is that? You know, what is really there? And kind of exploring that. And then in the tantric experience, you know, you're connected to another being. But if you're grounded in your body, then you have the ability to hold much more energy.
Mm-hmm.
So there is exercise in all the archetype to kind of develop those, you know, those different character.
Mm-hmm. And in the process, I get that you unwind into a state of deep, intimate connection both with yourself, with your partner, and with the divine. And so in some ways, the bliss you're experiencing is kind of the ecstasy that's in the universe itself, you know?
Right. And also, you know, the thing around boredom is that if you're that present, it will never, never, never be the same experience.
Right. Right, that when we're completely present to the experience, they aren't the same each time over and over and over again. Each experience.
That's right. It will always be indifferent.
Right.
You'll touch a different place.
Right. That's a very powerful thought. And on that thought, I want to pause and take a break, give a chance again to listen to our sponsors. Listeners, the show has been growing. I really appreciate your support. If you heard something today that you noticed you found interesting or you want to know more about, you know, when you go to personallifemedia.com and look at the episode, we have a transcript. We have a complete transcript of everything we said. So you might want to perhaps cut and paste words out of that transcript and send them to friends or let people know. It's really your willingness to let people know about the show that helps the show grow, and I would really appreciate your support. So if you think of someone who might like the show, please send it their way. And if you would like to look at a transcript, why, come look on my episode pages at personallifemedia.com. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. We'll be back in just a moment.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. We're talking to Una Morier, and we've been talking about the Nine Secrets to Bedroom Bliss, which is the title of her newest book. And we've been talking about archetypes and diving into the soul, and it sounds to me when I listen to all this and I talk to you that really you have a very nice, unique way of helping people really access the deep love that, that really is the source of all joy, that, that it's really about.
Yeah. I think definitely it's all about that, isn't it?
Yeah. It's that love of self. It's that love of, words in English are a little tricky because, you know, we talk about loving pizza and loving our car. And, but there's an experience of the universe as love. There's an experience of each human being as being pure love when we're born. And it just, as I listen to you talk, I really get that you're just helping people really find their way back into that deep, 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 deep place inside their heart where we feel both where we feel most alive, where we feel most present to the experience of life.
Yeah, and part of living on this planet is this constant conversation with your own self about living with an open heart. It's so easy to close it. Yeah. So that's really the journey of sexuality and relationship for me. It's really this being present and being relentless into keeping our heart open.
I noticed that's the difference between me being 20 and me being in my 50s, that in my 20s I really think the journey of sexuality was pretty much about getting off, and it was a pretty hollow experience. It had moments of peak, but it was a pretty, in general, it was a pretty hollow experience. And it took me well into my adult years before I really got that perhaps the goal of sexuality was connection, and that and that if that was the goal of sexuality, then the deeper the connection, the better the sexuality, and sort of sent me in different directions versus just trying different ways to get off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also that, there is a couple of other pieces to that, which is I think we get deconstructed, as we get older in sexuality. It's like we all have a sense of an identity that is deeply tied up to who we are as a sexual human being.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you get older, and that is not reliable anymore.
Right.
And so what really is required, and for me it's very similar to the experience of having cancer or, those kind of life-transforming experiences, can you have the courage to be in the presence of the person you love and, the juice are not going? And then what do you do there? You really have, can you surrender to that moment to really see what could be there?
Yeah. Now, Una, how would somebody get this book, and how would somebody get in touch with you if they've listened and they want to know more?
You can go on the website blissinbed.com.
Yes, that's all one word, right? BLISSIN. BED, blissinbed.com.
And also you can go to unamorier.com.
Again,
OONAMOURIER.com.
Right.
And also you can find the book at any kind of a bookstore and Barnes & Noble and online, and it's all over the web.
And listeners, as you know, if you go to the episode pages, we'll also include a link to both unamourier.com and to blissinbed.com, so you can get to it directly from our site.
Great.
While I'm talking to the listeners here, I just want to remind you, if you like what you're hearing, or if there's something in particular you would like to hear, or someone you would like me to interview, please, I'm always open to comments and to suggestions. Easiest way to reach me, just send an email to chip@personallifemedia.com, and I do get all that email, and I'm happy to respond. And I would say probably, almost a quarter of my guests come from suggestions from my listeners who say, I'd like to hear so-and-so, and I go looking for them. So I'm definitely open to your comments and your suggestions. If you prefer doing it by voicemail, you can leave me a voicemail at 206-350-5333. Please leave your name, my show name, your question or comment, your phone number, and or your email. And when you leave a message, just know that it indicates your agreement for us to use your message on air. If you say something nice about us, we like to be able to use it in promotional material. Oh, no, we're coming to the end of the show, and I always like to leave my guests with an exercise, something that they can do themselves to deepen the love, intimacy, and sexuality in their life. Do you have a suggestion, perhaps, from your 9 secrets that somebody could try at home?
Yeah, one of my very, 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 very favorite exercises is to follow connection. And so when you are with your partner, in the middle of a tender moment and sexual encounter, just follow the connection and just watch when you're connecting and when you disconnect. And when you disconnect, to really look at what it is that's happening in that moment and go back into connection. And it's a very simple and yet very powerful exercise.
Now, do you actually speak it? I am. I'm making love with my partner, and then I say out loud, "Wow, I just noticed I disconnected." Is that do we actually say this out loud?
You could do that, or you could notice yourself. Just follow the connection. Where do you stay present with the mm-hmm. other, and where do you go in your own world?
Mm-hmm.
And so you could work either way with it. It can be fun, to as a part of discovering each other in new places to talk about it as you move along.
And as I notice that I'm becoming disconnected, should I try to connect again? Or is it just about noticing what's so?
Well, there is a couple of strategies that you can have at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a breath and go back into connection.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can really look at, why do you disconnect at this particular moment? What is really going on? And those are two different ways to deal with it
mm-hmm.
that would lead to probably a different outcome, different place where you would go together.
Yeah, I could see that both would be really powerful. I can see that it is really powerful to just notice that when we take a breath and get present in this moment, we can come right back into the connection and right back into the present moment. And I think it's equally powerful to have that moment of noticing that I'm disconnected and then, per the other things we were talking about, really sort of following causality. So what's really going on inside me here? What's really, where did my fear come up, or what had me push away? And that both could be really powerful learning tools.
Right. And I think, in many ways, we all have to face the gap in between this intense, love that we know that is possible and the reality of being in the body with another human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Intense gap sometimes. Yeah. Una, it has been terrific talking to you. We're coming to the end of the show here. I want to thank you for being my guest and thank you for all the fascinating information here.
Thank you so very much. It was really lovely to talk to you.
Yeah. And talk to
you. To your listener.
Yeah. And listeners, thank you again. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show, and please tune in again for our next show.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.